you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How great was it that the Bears rookie punter, Torrey Taylor, named your NFC Special Teams Player of the Week? Did you enjoy hearing Bears QB Caleb Williams address the honor?
He's unbelievable. I mean, when we drafted him, the night we drafted him, that was the first time I've ever looked at a punter highlight tape on the night we drafted him. And I love the guy. He's great.
Well, Torrey Taylor has been pretty good so far. What did you think of QB1 recognizing that?
I was amused by it because, of course, famously, QB1 texted him his introduction to the NFL. Hey, welcome aboard. We're not going to need you, right? He told them they weren't going to need his punting skills. I think it's a fun story. I think the kid had an unbelievable game. He helped them win that game. I'm a fan. I think he can do great stuff. I think he's going to get better, and I think he'll be very consistent. And it's just an extraordinary skill that he has, and I think that it's a worthy one. It's something I know everybody wants to talk about. Why don't you have more depth on the offensive line? You need to get the offensive line a little bit earlier, and you need to be able to go out and sign guys and help guys. You need that player. The last year's punter was activated this week, I believe, and played somewhere. I can't remember where. But anyway, that was a problem area, and they went out and they got the best guy you could think of to do it. So the fact that he's already a special teams player of the week speaks volumes about how good he is and how much this can help a team, especially obviously flipping the field and playing a field position game until the quarterback gets up and running and they don't need him anymore.
Caleb just texted me before saying, hey, you're not going to punt too much here, which is great, but
it's just, what a great story. You know, and every time, in all honesty, every time anything happens with Torrey Taylor, I think of you, Mully. I do, because you were calling this from way back when. You kind of, if you weren't paying attention to Iowa football, and unless you went to Iowa, I don't know why you would be paying attention to a lot of Iowa football the last couple of years. Offense, you know, they may as well have quick kicked on three. And on third down, they may as well have brought Torrey Taylor out there and tried to pin the team back. But it was a master class. You take that fourth overall pick, you pin your opponent back, and then you're defense that has been playing very well overall intercepts the ball and game over. I mean, that's how it's supposed to work, and it worked perfectly. It made Ryan Poles look very smart. Very smart.
Second best athlete to come out of Iowa last year. So that's good. Punters are people too. Come around on that. A fourth round draft pick is a high price for a guy that is as good as he is. The affable Aussie. It's good to hear from him. Caleb Williams was hilarious yesterday. I think he was very good acknowledging and remembering that moment. First time since 2007 that a punter has been honored as the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week for the Bears. Brad Maynard back then. That was a long time ago. He is going to be a weapon. He already is. He served his purpose. He's the 12th member of that defense, honorary member of that defense. And he helps Matt Eberflus, I think, play a style that he's comfortable playing, most comfortable playing, the punt and pin and using the field position to gain those hidden yards. The only thing that I will continue to watch is something that I brought up after Sunday's game, is that how having a weapon like Torrey Taylor as your punter affects your thought process on fourth down. We are immersed in the metrics of fourth down and short, fourth and less than five, and where on the field does it make sense? The Bears had fourth and two on the opening drive. Fourth and two on the opening drive at their own 44-yard line. And they did not hesitate. They punted. And it worked. And it was one of those punts from Torrey Taylor that pinned the Rams deep in their own territory. But I wonder, what happens if you convert the first down? Are you less aggressive because you have a punter that is this good? It's something to keep an eye on. It's something I'll keep an eye on. There are no bad things about having a punter this good. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it certainly does change your mindset on fourth down, and we've already seen it happen.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, Biggs Time, 7 a.m. with Mully and Hall. What was the biggest news on the Bears injury list? That neither Tevin Jenkins nor DeAndre Carter practiced due to rib injuries they sustained against the Rams? Or is it that wide receiver Keenan Allen practiced and did not land on the list, and he's been dealing with that heel injury?
I think it's Tevin Jenkins all the way. I think Tevin Jenkins has got a big week, because you look at what's ahead on the schedule. If he doesn't play on Sunday and he's dealing with rib issues, and it's one of those things that is a pain tolerance threshold thing, and you look at the schedule, and if they win without him, you might be tempted to try to win without him again in London. Maybe he doesn't make the trip. Maybe he stays home and heals. You got an off week after the Jaguars game, and you have an opportunity for him to get fully healed to come back and make your offensive line whole again. He probably needs to play more than the Bears need him to play. He needs to play because he needs to prove he can stay on the field. This is a big year for him in terms of his career, in terms of his contract, the next contract that the Bears didn't want to talk about until he could prove he could stay on the field. So that's the biggest deal when Tevin Jenkins isn't on the field for practice and you wonder if he's going to be there on Sunday for the game. As far as DeAndre Carter, I think that's a lesser issue. Keenan Allen coming back is fine. That's good. I'd like to see him be a little bit more productive on Sunday like the rest of the receiving core.
So it's Tevin Jenkins for me as well. It's big for him. It's big for the team. It's super, super important. And, you know, the way the Bears, I'm not quite sure how the Bears are exactly using the wide receivers. You know, we talked a lot about DJ Moore last week. The game plan was for him to be a decoy. I remember, just off the top of my head, I remember Keenan Allen catching one pass last week against the Rams. I'm not saying I'm right, but I remember one. That's all I remember. The offensive line is important, and Tevin Jenkins needs to play.
Yeah, the offensive line is of utmost importance, and Tevin Jenkins definitely needs to play. I think that it's pretty extraordinary when you think about the fact that they have yet to get the line they envisioned before the year started on the field together, and you're already four games into the season, and you know you won't for a while. And I think that with Tevin, he's in a contract year. He'd love to get paid. He came to polls and talked about it. Let me tell you something. You don't get paid if you can't play. And he has missed too many games already in his career. And I don't know that it's setting up to kind of ensure him of coming back as a Bear. I think they may be moving on at the end of the year if indeed this is the beginning of other issues. Who knows how long this could take or will take, whatever. I think it is really good that the wide receiver is back. And I hope that indicates that he's now going to play the season and not be back. I worry that a plantar fasciitis injury is a season-long thing, and it's really hard to just overcome. So stay of execution on that injury. It's a good thing. Let's see if they can get more going with the wide receivers in this game. Didn't have a lot of production out of the wide receivers a week ago, and it will help if they can get that going. But yeah, the key to last week's win was they got the running game going, and that's because the offensive line got going. And, you know, you should be able to take advantage of the Carolina Panthers here with the injuries they have and, you know, the fact that they were kind of a subpar team.
Yeah, it's a good question.
All right, how about this question? The Tigers and Royals advance to the ALDS. Is that good news or is that bad news for the White Sox perspective? Or does this have nothing at all to do with the White Sox because the rebuild is so immense and too big to even compare?
Well, the White Sox have told us that it's about them. It's about them getting better, and they got to worry about themselves. And the sad reality is that the second part of the question is the answer to it. It doesn't really have much to do with the White Sox because they're so damn bad, and they need to get so much better. And please, don't tell me about what's going on in Double A and that, you know, we nearly did real well in Triple A. You were the worst team in the history of the league, and that is really the priority here. And you got to get better. And if the division wants to be really good and they want to win a World Series, do it now while the Sox are coming back. Because once they get back, it's all good. No.
So I saw some crazy stat. I was trying to find it again. But the Tigers and Royals were, I think they combined for 4 losses against the Sox. But then against everybody else, they were just under 500 as a team. So they got fat. Right, they got fat playing against the White Sox, but it worked out. I mean, they're still playing. They didn't lose in the postseason, but maybe that's because they didn't have to put out a heck of a lot of effort. I do think the gap is really big, but I think the Royals have Bobby Witt Jr. He's really, really good. Not exactly sure why the Orioles were pitching to him in this series, but you go from 106 losses to making the postseason. That should be something that White Sox fans try to cling to, possibly.
Who's your Bobby Witt Jr.?
Right. Well, who's your Bobby Witt Jr.?
Is that Colson Montgomery, by all appearances, because he would have been on the way or already arrived if it were the case. You look at that division. Oh, by the way, besides the Royals and Tigers who made news last night, the Guardians won 92 games.
Yep.
And the White Sox were 51.5 games out of first place. 51.5 games out of first place. That's a huge gap. That's enormous. And this is the best division in baseball this year. Who saw that one coming? But you look at the way that they did it, and the Royals had a star to build around. The Tigers did it more anonymously with guys you don't necessarily recognize, and they seem to take off once Javi Baez, it's just a coincidence, but remember, they were in Chicago. Javi Baez said his goodbye. He was deemed out for the rest of the season with a hip situation. And then all of a sudden, they took off. Their combined payroll on the playoff roster, $18.8 million. Hilarious that Josh Hader, the Astros closer, makes 19, and they are going home, and the Tigers are moving on. It just says you want to stay the course. You have to hire the right people. You have to get the right manager. And in the Tigers' case, play a brand of baseball that is consistent. And in the Royals' case, find a star. And don't count yourself out ever, because a year ago at this time they're figuring out, 106 losses, how do we rebuild from that? I don't think anybody in Kansas City would expect them to be preparing for a second round of the playoffs a year ago. Does it affect the Sox? Only in that they can maybe see that it can be done, but they got a long way to go, because also in that division the Twins were over 500, so all the teams except for the White Sox had winning records. The White Sox were historically bad.
Honestly, it's a question that I've probably spent, thousands and thousands of hours thinking about.
Well, he's got thousands and thousands of trade possibilities going through his head. That's Jed Hoyer. If we agreed on Wednesday that the Cubs need to shake things up by making a big trade in the offseason before the dust settles, what established vet position player do you think they are most likely to dangle in trade conversations, and why?
Well, I think we talked about this a little bit. Nico Horner is a name that's going to come up a lot because they do have Matt Shaw waiting in the wings at AAA, and he can play second base. Or Michael Busch could play second base conceivably, and they could trade for Vlad Guerrero. I would like to see them approach both corner outfielders and find out which one is willing to be willing to waive their no trade clause. I would be open to the possibility of either Seiya Suzuki or Ian Happ being dealt. And if you do that, then you open up some possibilities for this young talent that Jed Hoyer likes to reference. also just changes the complexion of your lineup in ways that you don't know how it's going to be different, but you think it will be better. They are stuck offensively. They did not have a good year collectively. Ian Happ, the numbers, all right, they're very acceptable for him. They had a few career highs in there. Seiya Suzuki, you could make the argument that at times he was the Cubs' best offensive player all around, but you have to change something about your lineup that makes it different next year than it was this year. And those are the guys that I would start with. So I would, in order, I would try to deal with Suzuki, then maybe Happ, either or, not both. And then if you can't deal with any of those guys, maybe then you go to Horner, but I would be reluctant to part with Nico.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of letting Nico go, but it seems like that's the only thing that you can do. That's it. I mean, I don't think there's any shot that the left fielder is going to waive his no-trade clause. I don't think Ian Happ wants to leave Chicago. I think he likes it here. Seiya Suzuki, maybe he's not enjoying it as much as he thought he might. So maybe. But they're so limited. They need to do something, but they are so, so limited.
I agree with that. That is the problem, that they don't have a lot of people. You know, both those guys, as you say, have the no-trade clause. You know, even if you want to trade one of them, that's going to make things more difficult, right? And I think it's interesting the way you put it. I like Ian Happ. I hope, you know, he's good teammate here at Score and likes coffee. There's a lot to like about the guy. I don't know. I also like the way he handled the Hendricks thing. I thought that was great. He saved all the balls from the different innings, and it was a classy move all the way around. But I think that their problem is, if you listen to what Jed was saying, he talked about Seiya Suzuki having a significantly better year than maybe we had realized he had. Oh, well, his OPS. You know, I don't think he had a great year, and I don't think Ian Happ had a great year, and I think that was part of the problem. So if you could figure out a way to move one of those guys, I'd do it. But I hate the idea that you got to move Horner because that's your only option. I just hate that idea. But maybe that is the truth.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Based on our conversation Wednesday, following the Cubs postseason press conference Tuesday, is Jed Hoyer suddenly Chicago sports executive whose seat is the hottest?
I would say no. I think AK's seat might be hotter. I don't know what the Bulls are thinking, but this is a guy that is going from whatever team that they never saw. They're no longer really in contention for whether or not they're going to, you know, to me, Jed's got like a whole year to get stuff done and to do things. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. I don't know. We're already into the Bulls season. I don't know how this is going to play out. I think they've got to protect that draft pick, so it's not going to be a great year. And I think we're going to have to see what happens out of the draft before we know if maybe they're willing to move on. And I don't know the internal relationships among everyone, but it feels like this has been going on a while with the Bulls. And if everyone's on board with what you're doing here, then that's great. I think you're just still getting going with the Bears. You're still, you know, the Sox, I don't know what they're doing, but that guy's fresh. And I think the Blackhawks are kind of heading in the right direction, and I don't think it's going to be a problem if they aren't. I think they will get a little bit better, and it's going to take a while with the number of people they brought in, number of young players. But I think that the answer is Jed and AK, and I'll take AK over Jed.
That's interesting. So I was looking it up. I thought I remembered. So in 2023, it was reported that AK got a new, very quiet contract extension. So I wonder how far out that goes. We all know, we've talked about it. You know, Jed is at the moment in the final year of his deal. His manager is going into the second year of a five-year deal. Very weird. I don't expect Tom Ricketts to come out and say, we've decided to extend Jed for four more years to line him up lockstep with Craig Counsell.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cubs are a bigger entity in this town than the Bulls are, especially right at this very moment. So I think Jed's seat's the hottest.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a leading question, isn't it? It's like the Cubs coming off a second straight 83-win season. Well, you change managers, you went out and got the highest paid manager in baseball, and you still have an 83-win season. So Jed, on Jed Hoyer's watch, they have yet to win a playoff game. It's been 5 years, and it seems like maybe that clock ticks louder at Wrigley Field than at other places, certainly the United Center, certainly with the Bulls. I'm not sure the Bulls operate with a sense of urgency. They are entertaining. The stadium is full. They have probably flirted with the postseason in ways that the Cubs haven't consistently the last couple of years. I don't know if AK is going to lose his job if the Bulls are on the outside looking in. They may want to design this season to be on the outside looking in so they can protect that top 10 draft pick and then see what they have. They like the way he scouts. I think it's probably Jed Hoyer. Kyle Davidson has done a nice job with the Blackhawks. They're ready to try to compete and win games more than they lose this year. We'll find out how that goes. They have Bedard. Ryan Poles is enjoying a little bit of a renaissance. This is the week we celebrate the trade. We'll talk about that he made, one of the best ever. And Chris Getz, I think, is the guy that lost the bet. He has to rebuild the White Sox. So I don't know that he's in any jeopardy of losing his job, certainly. Maybe getting some help, maybe getting a different boss. But I think it's definitely Jed Hoyer. And I think everybody realizes, heading into his final year of his deal, that he's got to produce some results.
You know, to answer your question,
That is the voice of Billy Donovan. Were you encouraged to learn that Josh Giddey was able to participate in some contact portion of practice yesterday, and Lonzo Ball played in a larger portion of contact practice on Wednesday than he did Thursday? Coach Billy Donovan said Ball is still readjusting to the speed of the game, but his basketball IQ remains stellar. And that was according to our guy Casey Johnson.
These are training camp reports, very encouraging. They're going to be very positive in most cases. I little surprised Josh Giddey was on the court participating this early based on the way he described the injury. The term ruptured is hard to forget, especially when it's talking about your Achilles. So I think this is very early in the process. Lonzo Ball, I don't know that you're going to feel good about him until you see the way that they use him, how much he contributes, and once we all get past the fact that him being on the floor is a medical marvel, I don't know what he can contribute. I'm not surprised his basketball IQ remains high. He's done a lot of watching. It will be 3 years in January that he's actually played in a game. So it's wait and see still for me.
I encourage, sure, but I'm giddey over these reports from our guy Casey Johnson. Giddey about it.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time, Giddey. I think it's good news. I had heard that he was close to getting back, but he wasn't ready yet, and they had tons of time. And I thought, oh boy, that guy's not going to be playing. And then, lo and behold, he's already playing. So that's a good thing. But you know, if you have any hesitation at all about Lonzo Ball, then you must have hesitation about Josh Giddey too, because Lonzo Ball, we know going in that he's not playing back-to-backs, that he's going to be on a minutes limit, that you got to worry about that all the way around. So I think that the same thing probably applies to Giddey. I don't know that him getting on the floor means that he's going to be ready for the start of the season. I think it's good news. And it's encouraging news. But, I mean, you're so right about Lonzo. That that's just a medical miracle. I mean, if the guy, he's literally got a new knee, you heard him say so. So we'll see. I would imagine that not only is his career impacted by this kind of injury, but the length of it is as well.
Yeah, I can't imagine
yeah.
what the wear and tear will be
right.
after, let's say, a month. How many games in a month he plays, and then what will be the
yeah.
cumulative effect on his knee? How much pain yeah. is he going to be in?
It's just there's
the stability,
just a lot of mystery questions. To the whole thing.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.